Let us go to our God in prayer. Our Almighty God, who is our Creator and Redeemer, we thank you for the blessing of your Lord's Day so far. We thank you for hearing your word proclaimed by Pastor Lehman. We thank you for the fellowship around the table. And I pray that as we enter into this time, you would give me boldness to speak. Most of all, that I would be made nothing and that you would be made everything in this time. Pray this all in your Son's name through the power of your Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Well, I won't be answering every question about Job, but it was funny when we were going down to ETS last Saturday, Elder Hoy said, "Hey, Isaiah, can you tell me why it's pronounced Job and not Job?" And my answer is, because. You have to ask Scott Halder why exactly. But if you would, please turn with me to the book of Job. We're going to be in chapter 42, the final chapter. Job 42, verses 1 through 6. Job 42, verses 1 through 6. And let us begin. "Then Job answered the Lord and said, 'I know that you can do everything, and that no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. You asked, "Who is this who hides counsel without knowledge?" Therefore, I have uttered what I did not understand, things too wonderful for me which I did not know. Listen, please, and let me speak. You said, "I will question you, and you shall answer me. I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. Therefore, I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes." As Job 42 opens, it is important that we remember the previous four chapters, 38 through 41, where God from the whirlwind has, where God from the whirlwind has questioned Job 77 times. In these chapters, God has reminded the claimless creature that is completely dependent upon God to save him, that he alone is the one who has laid the foundations of the earth. He alone is the one who has shut the seas in with doors. He is the one who has commanded the morning and the evening, who is the creator and sustainer of the beasts of the earth, who is both more powerful and more terrifying than both the behemoth and the leviathan. And this voice that speaks to Job from the whirlwind reminds the creature, made from the dust of the earth, that he alone is the one who stands as the sovereign and eternal creator and redeemer. And in our small portion of scripture, Job confesses that he has not only heard of God by the hearing of the ear, but now his eye sees him. 42:5. And this recognition by Job of God as the creator and redeemer should be one that is true in our own lives. We too have heard of God by the hearing of the ear. Today we have sat in the congregation of God's covenant people and heard the word proclaimed. We have beheld his invisible attributes, which are clearly seen in creation through the works that are made. Romans 1, 18 and 19. We certainly have heard of him by the hearing of the ear. But we have also seen him with our eyes. We have beheld the glory of the Father through the work of the Son by the power of the Spirit. We have been redeemed through the blood of the Lamb slain from before the foundation of the world. We have been called and brought out of the kingdom of darkness and into his marvelous light. We confess, like Job, that we have heard of our Creator and our Redeemer with both our ears and with our eyes. And so as we walk through this passage of Job 42, 1 through 6, let us keep those two distinct relationships in mind. The creator, the creature, the redeemer, and the redeemed. And so beginning in my first point, one of three, the recognition by Job. In verse 1, we read, "Then Job answered the Lord and said, 'I know that you can do everything, and that no purpose of yours can be withheld from you.'" If you're familiar with the book of Job, Job's answer here to God's final question is very different from his previous answer that he gave in the opening verses of chapter 40. When Job first answered the voice of the Lord from the whirlwind, it says in chapter 40, verses 3 through 5, "Moreover, the Lord answered Job and said, 'Shall the one who contends with the Almighty correct him? He who rebukes God, let him answer it. Then Job answered the Lord and said, Behold, I am vile. What shall I answer you? I lay my hand over my mouth. Once I have spoken, but I will not answer. Yes, twice, but I will proceed no further. Job's answer here in chapter 40 was one of acknowledgement, of recognition that he had spoken when he should have remained silent. Job acknowledges that he is the creature made in the image of God, formed from the dust of the earth, as a way to remind him of that he is the creature. He is not the unmade creator who rules over all of creation with power and glory. Job understands that he is not the one who has decreed and commands the course of the stars and the planets in their courses. Job's statement is one of recognition of the Almighty God who now speaks to him from the whirlwind. And Job, rightfully so, lays his hand over his mouth and proceeds no further. But here in chapter 42, verse 1, Job removes his hand from over his mouth and he speaks. But this time, a declaration is made, a proclamation that God is the creator, that God is the redeemer. Verse 1 again, Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that you can do everything, and that no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. Throughout this book, Job has sought to find relief and comfort from the suffering that he has experienced and is currently experiencing even in this time. Job has lost what appears to be everything, his children, his possessions, his wealth, his health, and what he believes to be everything that brings him joy and comfort in this life. Job even cries out to God that he would leave him alone because he feels that God no longer is his true comfort in life. We read in Job 7:11-16, Job says, Therefore, I will not restrain my mouth. I will speak in the anguish of my spirit. I will complain in the bitterness of my soul. Am I a sea or a sea serpent that you set a guard over me? When I say, My bed will be my comfort, my couch will ease my complaint, then you scare me with dreams and terrify me with visions, so that my soul chooses strangling and death rather than my body. I loathe my life. I would not live forever. Let me alone, for my days are but a breath. We, like Job, all seek comfort in this life. We all desire a hope that our suffering will one day come to an end. And sometimes we, like Job, may even feel as though God is the one who is afflicting us. He has turned his gaze upon us. In verse 19 and 20 of the same chapter, Job cries out, How long will you not look away from me and let me alone till I swallow my spit? Have I sinned? What have I done to you, O watcher of men? Why have you set me as your target so that I am a burden to myself? And this is why in Job 42:1, we find such a profound statement of recognition by Job. In this time of repentance, Job has not only going to proclaim a truth, but he knows where his comfort is found. He has not only heard by the hearing of the ear, but now he sees with the eye that his creator and redeemer alone is his only comfort in life and death. Verse 1, one more time. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that you can do everything, and that no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. The one who spoke the heavens into existence, the one who governs the stars and planets in their courses, the one who made the behemoth and the leviathan, the one who rules over all things, it is the Lord God who speaks to Job from the whirlwind that can do all things. And Job recognizes this, and that no purpose of his can be withheld from him. Job hears with his ears and sees with his eyes. God is creator and man is the creature. God is the redeemer and man is the one needing to be redeemed. And this Job sees. He sees the one who set out to find fallen man in the garden. When God cried out, Where are you? Genesis 3:9. Though man was trembling all over and fleeing from him, this is the same God of comfort that declares to Job and to us today through his word, I will be your God, and you will be my people. The same Redeemer that promised to Adam and Eve to give them his son, born of a woman to crush the head of the serpent and to make him blessed, is the same Redeemer that Job has previously declared of in Job 19, where he says, "For I know that my Redeemer lives, and he shall stand at last on the earth. And after my skin is destroyed, this I know, that in my flesh I shall see God, and my eyes shall behold and not another. How my heart yearns within me." In the midst of both physical and emotional suffering, of sitting in the dust and ashes, in the midst of losing what appears to be all things that bring him comfort, Job sees and hears what the prophet Isaiah will later declare in Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. "My thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours, and my thoughts than your thoughts." Job, like we should be, from a place of humility, brokenness, and a full understanding of being a claimless creature of the dust made in the image of God, is completely dependent upon the Lord who speaks to him from the whirlwind. He is the Creator. He is the Redeemer. And oh, that this would be the declaration of all of our hearts. That as we have heard with the ears and seen with our eyes, and knowing God is the Creator and the Redeemer, we, like Job, proclaim as verse 1, "I know that you can do everything, and that no purpose of yours can be withheld from you." And so we have the recognition by Job. But now we move on to the next point, which is the recalling. In verse 3, we read, "You asked, 'Who is this who hides counsel without knowledge?' Therefore, I have uttered what I did not understand, things too wonderful for me which I did not know. Listen, please, and let me speak. You said, 'I will question you, and you shall answer me.'" Here in verses 3 and 4, we have a furthering of recognition by Job of his own estate as the creature. We've talked about how Job is looking at the Creator and the Redeemer. Now we have Job recognizing himself as the creature and the one needing to be redeemed. Job recalls here God's first question in chapter 38, verses 1 through 3. And if you're familiar with some of my past lessons, I've talked about this one because this portion of Scripture, Job 38, 1 through 3, has been one that the Spirit has used in my own life. And if you would like to turn there, please do so. But it's awesome and terrifying what takes place in Job 31 or 38, 1 through 3. Since the opening chapters of the book, God has been silent to the questioning and complaints of Job. But now, here in 38, the voice of the Lord thunders from the whirlwind and asks Job the first, and I believe it's the most terrifying, of the 77 questions. Job 38, 1 begins, "Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, 'Who is this who darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Now prepare yourself like a man. I will question you, and you shall answer me.'" Job recalls here in 42, or chapter 42, and confesses that "I have been the one who has uttered words that I did not understand. I have uttered what I did not understand, things too wonderful for me which I did not know." In his commentary on this portion, Matthew Henry speaks as though he were Job, and he says, quote, "There needed to be no more words that convinced me. I own that I am the man that has been so foolish. That word reached my conscience and set my sin in order before me. It is too plain to be denied, too bad to be excused. I have darkened counsel by words without knowledge. I have ignorantly overlooked the counsel and designs of God in afflicting me, and therefore have quarreled with God and insisted too much upon my own justification. Therefore, I have uttered what I did not understand, things too wonderful for me which I did not know." End of quote. Job confesses here his ignorance of the divine counsel of the Lord God, who speaks to him from the whirlwind. God's ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. We cannot fathom the depths of God's plan. We do not always understand in the moment why he decrees whatsoever comes to pass. But even in the midst of our suffering and pain, when we have spoken words without knowledge and darkened God's counsel, we must remember that, I'm going to borrow a term from Jonathan Gibson, come to the Tabor Lectures and meet him, but the moon is always round. We must remember that with God. That even when we cannot see the entirety of God's plan, in the same way that we cannot always see the entirety of the moon when it is shaded in darkness, it is always round. Which means, Carol? God is always good, even in the midst of our suffering. He has promised to be our God, to never leave us nor forsake us, to be our good shepherd, to be the Redeemer who will raise us up on the last day, to be the bridegroom that is coming to gather his bride to himself and bring her to glory forevermore. He alone is our Creator and Redeemer, and we are the creature and the one needing to be redeemed. And when we, like Job, recall and recognize who God is and who we are led to, and this is by the providence of God, that Pastor Lehman was talking about this morning, this leads to repentance. In verses 5 and 6 of chapter 42, and this is our last point, I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. Therefore, I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. A true recognition and recalling of our sin and misery excites in us the desire of deliverance, the desire to be redeemed. A knowledge of disease and sickness in our bodies awakens in us a desire of medicine on the part of the sick. Where there is no recognition and recalling of our sin and misery, there is no deliverance sought. We are like a man who is ignorant of his disease and never inquires after the great physician. In true recognition of sin and misery that leads to repentance, there's not only a recognition and conviction of sin, but as Pastor Lehman said, there is contrition, a godly sorrow over it. Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 10 and 11 says, "Godly sorrow produces repentance, leading to salvation. Not to be regretted, but the sorrow of the world produces death. For observe this very thing, that you sorrowed in a godly manner. What diligence it produced in you, what clearing of yourselves, what indignation, what fear, what vehement desire, what zeal, what vindication. In all things you proved yourself to be clear in this manner." Job had godly sorrow in recognition of his sin and misery, and speaking when he should have remained silent. And this caused him to cry out, as we see in verse 6, "I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes." The prophet Isaiah, after seeing the glory of the Lord sitting on a throne and high and lifted up, cried out, "Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." The Apostle Paul, when speaking about the war that is within the members of our flesh, that does not glorify God, he cries out, "O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" Matthew Henry, one more time, speaking on repentance, says, we must not only be angry at ourselves for the wrong and damage we have by sin done to ourselves, our souls, but must abhor ourselves as having by sin made ourselves odious to the pure and holy God. The more we see of the glory and majesty of God, and the more we see of the vileness and odiousness of our sin and of ourselves because of sin, the more we shall abase and abhor ourselves for it. Like Job, we too must abhor ourselves when we speak with words without knowledge, when we darken God's counsel in our ignorance and arrogance. We too must repent with a broken and contrite heart, Psalm 51:17, in full recognition of Him as the Creator, of Him as the Redeemer, and ourselves as the creature and the one needing to be redeemed. We have not only heard of God by the hearing of the ear, but we have seen Him with our eyes. We have beheld the Lord who spoke to Job from the whirlwind through the second person of the Godhead, who is the Creator and Redeemer. We have been redeemed through the blood of the Lamb, slain from before the foundation of the world. We have been called and brought out of the kingdom of darkness and into His marvelous light. And so may the Spirit of God cause all of us, just like He caused Job, after recognizing who God is and who we are, may the Spirit cause us to recall our sin in light of the eternal and sovereign Creator and Redeemer, leading to true repentance. May He cause all of us to declare that blessed and comforting truth that Job had said in chapter 19. I know that my Redeemer lives, and He shall stand at last on the earth. And after my skin is destroyed, this I know, that in my flesh I shall see God, and my eyes shall behold Him and not another. Let us pray. Our Lord God, who spoke to Job from the whirlwind, we pray that we, just like Job, would come to know You better as our Creator and our Redeemer. We thank You that we can boldly come before the throne of God and lay our cries to You. But we know that You are the Creator, and we are the creature. And You have decreed all things, even our suffering. And so let us suffer rightly to glorify You. We thank You that You were the one who created Behemoth and Leviathan, and we would be terrified to stand in front of them. How much more should we be terrified to stand before You? But we thank You that through the blood of Your Son, we can come boldly before the throne of grace. And we pray that You would ever remind us that we are the creature made from the dust of the earth. We are the ones needing to be redeemed. And we thank You that You are Creator and You are Redeemer. We have heard of You by the hearing of the ear, and we have seen You with our eyes. And we look forward to that day when we will all be raised imperishable, and forevermore we will behold our God, ever hearing and ever seeing. We thank You for Your Lord's Day. Thank You for hearing the preaching of the word. And I pray that You would dismiss us with Your blessing. I pray all these things in Your name. Amen.